Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. The show runs a little long today, so what do you say we just get right on into it? We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew, the very first chapter, verses 18 through 24. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do, and he took his wife into his home. The gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is. Oh, this is a deep pool. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk all about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi. This is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, we're going to be talking all about Joseph. And I love Joseph. He's a bit of a mysterious character. Don't know a whole lot about him. The Gospel of Mark, which is thought to be the first gospel written, makes no mention of Joseph. The Pauline letters never talk about him. He's hardly ever mentioned in the Gospels. So who is this mysterious man who would serve as the stand-in father for Jesus? Our gospel today is one of the very few where Joseph is even mentioned. So let's take a real close look at this and see what we can learn about this mysterious man, Joseph, who played such a critical role in salvation history. We are in the Gospel of Matthew, clearly the most Jewish of all the Gospels. And our gospel today appears at the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. And I imagine if I was Matthew, I would have a hard time trying to figure out exactly how to start this whole tale. The tale that we have come to know as the Jesus event. I would be challenged as to where to even begin. But Matthew decides he's going to begin with genealogy. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah. And Judah became the father of Perez and Sarah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. And it goes on and on and on for 16 verses. Okay, it's really long. And it appears in the Liturgy of the Word on Christmas Eve, which is very unfortunate because this is when many people, that's the only time they come. And let's just say this is difficult homiletic material, but this is what we do as church, and this is what Matthew does in the beginning of his gospel. And it might seem odd, but my friends, he has his reasons. Remember, Matthew is writing to two distinct audiences. Number one, believers. These are people who have already heard the good news coming from the disciples, or maybe they've heard from Paul and Barnabas, or they've heard and accepted the good news, okay? But he's also writing to unbelievers, most particularly his own people, the Jewish unbelievers. And he is addressing a fundamental question, a question, dare I say, which caused most of Israel to reject Jesus at the time. And that question is this: is he in fact the Messiah, the smeared one, the promised one? Of course, throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, or what we call the Old Testament, there are many references to the coming of the Messiah. And many of those references point to the fact that the coming Messiah will in fact come from the house of David. That is prophecy. Isaiah: there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. Now, Jesse is the father of King David. So David is the fruit that that prophecy is talking about. Now in Jeremiah we read, "Behold, the day is coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king." Again, in the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, kind of serves as the hinge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they just go right out and say, okay, the coming Messiah will come from the house of David. Okay, so you can't get more clear than that. So there's this heightened expectation that the Messiah is coming, and this Messiah is going to come from the house of David. Yet they had expectations of what that Messiah would be. So when Jesus came, despite his miracles, despite the wisdom, they rejected him, a rejection that continues in our world today. Meanwhile, we're getting dressed up for Christmas. And the dog and pony show that this world calls Christmas, to be honest, and I'm not talking as a priest, but just as a Christian, is kind of painful, really, to watch. Recently, I heard "Joy to the World" in a car commercial. I'm serious. Is nothing sacred? I understand that 40% of all retail sales happens during the holiday seasons, but can you just leave the Christmas carols out of it? I mean, really. Let me tell you. I'm not making this up, okay? I live in Nitro, West Virginia. Like, this is just outside of Charleston, West Virginia. And it wasn't but a couple of years back that we made national news in Charleston, West Virginia, when our mayor suggested that maybe we should change the name of the Christmas parade to the Winter Parade. You know, be more inclusive. You can't make this stuff up. And honestly, I surrender. I give up. They can have it. They can call it a tree holiday for all I care. Happy shopping day holiday. We have become so removed from the true meaning of Christmas that the verdict is in. And the verdict is the Keep Christ in Christmas campaign has largely failed. And now it's just happy holiday. And, you know, understand, I'm not here to negotiate Christ. Jesus doesn't need a lawyer. If this world wants to reject Jesus, that's fine. It's their prerogative. Because God loves you so much that he has created you with the freedom and ability to not love him back, if that's what you choose. I guess I'm just saying it's kind of painful. It's kind of painful to watch the way our world mocks Jesus and the good news, but understand, this is exactly the world that Matthew finds himself living in as he sits down to put quill to papyrus and write his gospel. But Matthew is a warrior, and in his mind, Jesus was the promised one, and he set to prove it. Now, this is his intent. Now, we're trying to do sort of that here at Daily Living, but I'm under no illusions. I know that I, in and of myself, can't convince you of anything. And that's okay, because it's not my job anyway. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. All I can do is what all Christians are asked to do, namely carry the message. Here it is, take it or leave it. Because in all my years of doing this, one thing that I've come to believe, and in fact, I know this, okay? And that is this. There is nothing that I can say. There are no perfect combination of words that I could put together that is going to cause you to have, you know, a V8 moment and go, oh, yeah, I get it. No, no. And the reason why is because you cannot argue somebody into the faith. The only way that you're going to really come to believe in Jesus is when you meet him. When the Holy Spirit puts its finger on your heart and reveals him to you. And the only way that that's going to happen is when you actively seek Jesus with an open heart, period. But if you've got your arms folded, if you've got it all figured out and somewhere along the way you have rejected the message, then please just leave Jesus out of it, especially if you're trying to sell a car. This is Deadly Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk all about this gospel, Joseph, and how we can apply him into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, we're talking about Joseph today. We're in the Gospel of Matthew, a gospel that begins with a very long genealogy. And as the genealogy comes to a close, Matthew writes, Mathan, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So, I have a question. Obviously, Matthew spent a whole lot of time and effort tracing and researching the lineage of Jesus through Joseph all the way back to Abraham. Why? Why did he do that? I mean, we all know the Christmas story. Jesus was born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. We all know that. So genetically speaking, what would Joseph have to do with that anyway? This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. But before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we know the story. And we look back at this and, well, we understand. Sort of, I suppose. Of course, through the centuries, there has been a great mythology created around all that happened, leaving many of us to picture Mary dressed in a blue and white, and there's a feeding trough in the middle with doubling as a bassinet where Jesus is lying, and it's all in a very nice clean barn with hay and smiling animals, and Joseph is flanked by shepherds, and the kings are there somewhere. Everything's at peace. Well, let me tell you, my friends, when all this was happening with Joseph, there was no peace. Joseph, this for him, this was a waking nightmare. Have you ever heard news that was so shocking that it caused your stomach to freeze? News that was so bad that it actually made you physically sick. Has that ever happened to you? Well, let me tell you, When his mother Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, was found with child, that is a nightmare to Joseph. Now, that word betrothed, we don't really have an equivalent for that word in the English language. I mean, I guess the closest that we can get to it would be engagement, but that really falls short in capturing the essence of that word. It's not a good comparison. Engagement is a trial period, you know, when you're looking at each other and you can change your mind. But in the ancient world, once you were betrothed, the deal was done. You were married in every way except consummation of the marriage. The families had negotiated, the dowries had been paid. Back then, a man had to prove that he could support his wife before he could even ask, which is why it wasn't at all unusual for a 14 or 15-year-old girl to marry an older man. And another thing, you know, today, when couples get married, or if they decide to skip that part and just move in together, they move away from the family. They become self-sufficient, or they at least try to be. This was not the case in the ancient world at all. In that day, it was common that the man would bring his betrothed back home to live with him and his extended family, where they would all pool their resources to support each other. This tradition continues today in India. So Joseph is looking at the love of his life, and she's got a baby bump. And I mean, this is as bad as it can get. I mean, what do you do with this? I mean, I can only imagine the conversation. God made me pregnant. Oh, really? I mean, is she just crazy? And just as an aside, if you were going to make up a story about how God decided to enter into human history, who would ever come up with this one? Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Now, like I said, we don't know a whole lot about Joseph. He's pretty mysterious, doesn't get a lot of press. But we can learn a lot about him through that one verse. Starting with the fact that obviously he didn't believe her. He didn't believe her. And can you blame her? Secondly, we know that he is a righteous man. Now that word righteous, you don't hear that word too much, righteous. In this culture, that would mean somebody that is morally correct, upright, justified. A righteous man is one who is living a life that is pleasing to God. I guess today we would call Joseph a religious man. He believed in the laws of Moses. So understand, this goes way beyond Joseph not wanting to marry his betrothed, because by the laws of his own religion, he can't. He would be breaking the law. And not only would he be breaking the law in doing so, he would bring shame not only on himself, but his family as well. So marriage at this point, that's not even an option. Besides that, if he takes this child as his own, the entire genealogy that we went through, that Matthew had taken so much time to put together, all of that would have been broken. He would have effectively dishonored his own ancestry, all the way back to Abraham. Now, that might not seem like such a big deal to you today, but understand, while today most of us don't know much anything past our own grandparents, back in the day, ancestry was a huge deal. Yet willing to expose her to shame, he decided to divorce her quietly. This really shows us Joseph's heart. It really shows us his character. Because understand this, he could have publicly walked away from this situation, and nobody would have blamed him. But if he did, Mary's life, for all practical purposes, it'd be over. At worst, she'd be stoned to death. But most likely, she and her family would be permanently shunned. A scarlet letter. The child would be born without a name, and he would live his entire life as an outcast, clouded in scandal. And nobody would ever want to marry Mary. Even her family members would have been shunned. So Joseph, he's got a problem. And it's a big problem. It's a conundrum. It's a sticky wicket. But you know, sometimes when you have a big problem, the only thing you can really do is go to bed, which is what he does. Such was his intention. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." Wow, can you imagine waking up to that? Wow. Joseph went to bed with a problem that had no solution. But he woke up with an answer that could only come from God. And I imagine his first thought as he threw his legs out of bed and stood up was, "Well, she's not crazy." Despite all the chaos that's going to come, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot, in Joseph's mind, there was only one answer to this problem. And you know what that answer is? God's will is going to get done. Joseph, the stand-in father, by naming the child Jesus, he becomes, by all legal authority on this earth, the son of Joseph. Now watch this, okay? God is grafting his son into the house of David, and he's using Joseph to do it. Joseph. Like I said, don't know a lot about this man. We know he's a carpenter by trade. We know that he was not a man of means. At the presentation, he brought 2 turtle doves for the sacrifice, which is a poor man's sacrifice. We know he's a righteous man. We can infer with great confidence that he raised Jesus in a righteous home. That would mean that he would have taught him all about the books of Moses, or what we call the Torah. And I imagine he was a very good teacher, because later on, when we find Jesus supposedly lost in the temple, he's confounding the Pharisees and the scribes with his astounding comprehension of the scriptures. Who taught him that? Joseph taught him that. We know that Joseph continued to live under a cloud of suspicion. Consider when he went to Bethlehem. You're telling me nobody in the entire town had a spare bedroom? I mean, Joseph surely had extended family there, but he was shunned. And Mary gave birth in a manger, in a barn. We know that Joseph continued to be guided by profound dreams, one warning him to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath, the slaughtering of the innocents, another dream letting them know it's time to return to Nazareth after Herod's death. We assume that he died young because he wasn't at Calvary, which is why Jesus asked the beloved disciple, John, to take care of his mother. So it's true, we don't have a lot of detail about Joseph. Scriptures are largely silent, but his character is self-evident. He had the heart to do the right thing. He was a seeker of God's will. And when he went to bed so many years ago, his heart was heavy with a problem that seemed to have no solution, at least no good solution. And I'm sure as a righteous man, he prayed, "Oh God, just show me the next right thing to do." And he got his answer. And when he did, what did he do? When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do, and immediately took Mary into his home. Didn't think about it. didn't call up his friends to discuss the situation, didn't take a vote, just did it. Immediately took her into his home and gave the child his name, changing every moment of his life to come. And not only his life, but the life of the world. A world that continues to reject Jesus in a thousand different ways every day. And when you think about it, outside of Mary, Joseph was the first one to accept Jesus and everything that goes along with it. The stand-in father that raised his son, whose mission is to save us from ourselves. So, my friends, this Christmas season, or shoppy holiday, depending on what road you're on, I invite you to consider the child Emmanuel. God is with us. His name is Jesus, who came into this world not to conquer your enemies, who came into this world not to sit on a throne and accept praise. He came into this world to save you from yourself. So, my friends, let us resign from the great debating society. If you truly want to know if Jesus is who he says he is, seek him today with an open heart. Ask him to reveal himself to you, and then wait. Pay very close attention to your life. You'll get an answer. And when the Holy Spirit puts its finger on your heart, it will be so personal, so absolute, you will never be able to honestly deny him again. And if you're looking for a role model, look to Joseph, the stand-in father, who woke up that morning and never looked back. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.